Today's recording will be in Luke chapter 1. As I mentioned last week, we're going to start a new reading plan for today. And even though we've read some of this last year when we first started doing these daily Bible readings, we're going to do them differently and going to be broken up in a little bit different way and with a different point rather than just looking at the scripture. We're going to think about some things to help our devotion and our spiritual attitudes. And this particular reading plan was come up with by Jacob Hudgens, and it's in his book called A Year with Jesus. If you want to look that up, I believe it's available on Amazon if you want a copy for yourself. We're going to talk about a little bit more than what he has in the book, but it's going to give an outline for us to follow. So we're going to start today in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angels answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you the good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." When we read through the book of Luke last year, we talked a little bit about the special nature of this particular account of the gospel being written to one person. So I'm not going to go into that again for today, but our focus is on John the Baptist and the promise that is made about him coming. And recognize in verse 6 that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are being described as blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Now don't make the mistake of thinking that that means that they never sinned, but it's saying that they were walking in the light, as John talks about, so that they're trying not to sin, and they took advantage of forgiveness when it was needed. But God sees them as blameless because of the way that they are endeavoring to conduct themselves in his sight and to do so according to his statutes. But it states that Elizabeth was barren and both of them were advanced in years. That probably sounds a little bit familiar because Abram and his wife were in a similar situation when the promise of a child came to them. So as he's serving in the temple, he has this vision. And I can imagine, I can put myself in his shoes and understand why he was fearful when he had this vision, when he saw this angel. If this is not something that's ever happened to you before and it suddenly appears out of nowhere, yes, I would probably have some fear as well. So I'm certainly not going to hold that against him. But when this promise comes to him, verse 18 says he asks the question, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years." So instead of making that connection to Abram, as we just did, he is doubtful. Now, it may not seem that way just on verse 18, but the angel says that he did not believe the words, and so he is mute until these things come to pass. But in describing this child that would come in verse 16 and 17, he would be in the spirit and power of Elijah. And that was prophesied to happen before the Messiah would come. And it says that his job or his mission is going to be to prepare the people, to prepare the way for the Lord. And later on, we will see as we will read that John understood that he had that particular mission to prepare the way for the Lord. When I think about that preparation, obviously we're talking about a spiritual preparation, but just in general terms, whenever you have someone of royalty that might come through a city or come through an area, riding, you know, at the time in a chariot or something along those lines, there would have been someone that would declare that the king was there and tell people, get out of the way and pay homage to your king, that type of thing. And so I think about that with John the Baptist, that in essence, he is declaring that Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming, as well as preaching the spiritual message of repentance. He is going to declare to them that they have not been faithful to the word of the Lord. He is going to declare to them that there is a need for repentance and coming back into that covenant relationship with God. And if they have that spiritual awakening so that they care about their place before God, then when the Messiah comes, they should be able to recognize that he is the Messiah, the spiritual message that he brings, that message of reconciliation and of ushering in the kingdom, and thus be ready to accept that message. And so John really is preparing the way for Jesus. But for us today, the point of the devotional for today is to realize that Jesus is coming again. At the end of time, when that day of judgment comes, Jesus will arrive and he will call all those that are his to join him, and he will turn away those that he rejects, those that have not accepted the message of reconciliation and come into that covenant relationship with God by the blood of Jesus. And if we realize as his people that Jesus is coming again, should we not then also be prepared for Jesus now as well? We don't know when he's coming. It could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be next year, it could be in the lives of my grandchildren. I don't know. It will come like a thief in the night. We're not going to have something that tells us ahead of time. But likewise, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Now, it's not ready in order to usher in some different covenant anymore, but it's ready in terms of, am I accepting the message of Jesus? Am I heeding the message and putting myself in a state in which I am ready to be judged by God? If you knew that you were going to be judged tomorrow, what would you do today? What would you change? What would your prayers contain? What would your devotion be? How would you act out your love and commitment? Those are questions we need to think about for today. Am I really prepared for the coming of Jesus? Now, in his book, Jacob proposes two questions for us to think about today. He asks one question, why do we struggle to remain continually prepared? Personally, I think that's because we don't keep our focus on Jesus. Now, at the time that you're listening to this, I will have preached a lesson talking about focusing on Jesus coming up this for me, it's coming up this Sunday the 10th, but for you, it will be in the past as I do these recordings ahead of time. But think about that. It's because we get a little distracted, we get a little bit off track, and we don't think about the fact that the coming of Jesus could be imminent. And we kind of get into that false sense of security that says, I've got plenty of time to do this or that. And we put things off. Don't put things off. Do what you know to be right to do right now while you have opportunity. For the opportunity may pass by and it may not be there anymore. The second thing he points out, I said question, it's not really a question. He says one thing to pray for. Pray for patience to remain faithful to our Savior while we do wait for Him. And we do need that patience. We need patience with endurance. We need patience and endurance with faithfulness. So that concludes our devotion for today. I would ask for you to think about these things, meditate on what we have talked about, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all and that we may be prepared when that day comes.